Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Brad's wife, Dana Sherling, walked into Carboni's, the little Italian place just outside of town, and she saw Pam sitting and waiting for her. So she smiled as Pam stood up and welcomed her to the table. It had surprised Dana to get that invitation to dinner. Pam was a recent member of her husband Brad's congregation. She's a delightful woman in her later 30s. She's a professional woman. She works in management at the hospital where Dana works. Dana had actually been asked by the wine and wine group she's part of to invite Pam to their next meeting. And when Dana had invited Pam, Pam in turn had invited Dana to dinner at Carboni's. Dana loved Carboni, almost as much as Brad liked the cinnamon rolls over in the coffee shop. Carboni's made the best lasagna. Dana loved lasagna, but she could never quite make it the right way. And so Dana jumped at the chance to go to dinner at Carboni's. And as she sat down, Dana smiled and she said, "I hope you weren't waiting too long. It took me a while to find a parking spot. You see, Brad usually just drops me off, and this time I actually had to go search and find a place." "No worries," said Pam. "I just got here myself. I hope that Pastor Brad doesn't mind my taking you away from him for the evening." "No problem there," Dana replied. "He's at some synod meeting tonight anyway. My kids are delighted to be eating frozen pizzas and watching movies instead of doing their homework, I'm sure. Thank you for the invitation." "I've been meaning to do something like this for a while now," Pam said. "I kind of needed to get up the nerve, though, and so I finally did. I hope you don't mind Italian." "I love it," Dana said, "especially the lasagna here. Have you had it?" Pam laughed and said, "I've had everything on the menu here. The lasagna's good, but I love their rainbow tortellini in the garlic butter sauce. It's kind of heavy, and it's still kind of light, and my breath is awful afterwards, but it is so worth it." They were both smiling as the waiter arrived with menus and waters. They made some quick small talk while he took their orders, tortellini for Dana and lasagna for Pam, but they were pledging to share some of it for each. After the waiter left, Pam looked across the table and asked Dana, "So, how long have you and Pastor Brad been married? I hope you don't mind my asking." Dana said, we're closing in on 20 years. Been pretty remarkable. We've had some rough times, but we work through them. Brad's a good guy overall. He has some weak spots, but so do I. But why do you ask?" Pam looked at her bread plate for a moment and then said, "It's really the reason why I invited you to dinner tonight. I was married a long time ago. I had started college, but didn't make it past my first year. I went majoring in theater arts. I had a lot of arty friends. We had a whole lot of fun, but we didn't go to too many classes. I didn't go back for my sophomore year. That summer, I went up north to stay with some friends, maybe find a job. That's when I met Gus. He was in a group that called themselves the Channel Rats. Now, I never did really find out what that was all about, but he was rugged and handsome. He also had a plan. He was going to Alaska to make a lot of money. And soon, I was following him. My mom and dad were not too happy, but they didn't want to come down too hard. I was an adult. They were trying to be as supportive as they could be. They let me know how they really thought about the idea. They didn't like it at all. But they let me make my own decision, so off I went. We lived in a fifth-wheel trailer. I worked for a veterinarian, and he worked on the pipelines. Sometimes he would go up to Valdez for 10 days to 2 weeks. That's when I really got homesick. But I had made my choice, and I was darned if I was going to tell my dad that I had made a mistake. Gus was an okay guy. Sometimes he drank too much, but I could explain that away. After being there for 6 months, Gus asked me to marry him. And so we went off to the Justice of the Peace, and our wedding picture was a Polaroid somebody took at the tavern. The height of romance, no? When work season ended in Alaska, we came back, and Gus bought a farm that was actually more woods than farmland. There was even a small lake in the middle of those woods out back. So Gus went fishing and hunting in season, and I was supposed to find work and help with the monthly bills because he was on break and didn't want to go to work himself. That was okay for that first break. But then he went back to Alaska by himself, leaving me to take care of the house and the farmland and all of that. When he came back the next time, he kept just wanting to hunt and fish and hang out with all his buddies. As I asked him to do things around the house, to do things around the farm, he started to get short with me. And he started acting really jealous. It almost seems that he was worried about me, but he didn't want me to come back with him to Alaska. This pattern kept up for a couple of more years. Each year he was getting shorter with me, his temper grew. He started to accuse me of things that I would never even imagine doing. Eventually, he accused me of having an affair with one of his buddies here at home. I never did. I never even liked the guy. But he filed for divorce and then got a whole bunch of his friends to state that they had seen me together with this guy. It took longer to end the marriage than we had known each other before we got married. I was hurt. He wasn't kind. I got very little in the settlement. And eventually I moved back in with my mom and dad for a while. They were so supportive and wonderful for me, but it just hurt a lot. Dana lay her hand on Pam's and just said, I am so sorry. And Pam nodded in thanks. Well, Pam continued, I'm the lector in church this coming Sunday, and the gospel is Jesus talking about divorce. I got caught up in a whirlwind and married before I understood what it could be, and I was divorced with very little input from me. And as I read the gospel, and as Jesus is talking about hardness of heart, and then he's talking about committing adultery if you marry again, I haven't married again, but right now I have a wonderful man in my life, and I would really like to be married to someone wonderful. Now, Dana, I know that you are not the pastor. I know that you didn't go to seminary or study the Bible, but you've lived with Pastor Brad for all of those years. What is Jesus saying here? Can I get married again? Am I sinning if I do? Dana coughed, looked around the room, and saw the waiter coming with dinner. So she waited until their meals were served to continue. Pam, I am so sorry that your first marriage was such a disaster. You're right. I'm not the pastor. But Brad and I have had some conversations through the years about this very topic. See, Brad talks with many couples before their weddings, and many of them have been divorced. So he tries to deal honestly with their situation and with what the gospel says. To answer your one question, yes, you can get married again. Are you sinning? Probably. But by the way, the tortellini is delicious. Dana continued and said, when Brad is talking about all of this, he always starts with the story in Genesis about God creating Adam and Eve. That's the Old Testament reading for Sunday, Pam said. It's one of Brad's favorite moments because he says that it shows that we are created to be in relationship. It's not good for us to be alone, and so friendships and marriage, families, and even work groups, it is for those relationships that we are created. To care for each other, to care for the people around us, that's what it's all about. Brad also talks about the fact that marriage is meant to be a laboratory for our relationships. We give ourselves completely to our spouse, caring for them completely, and then we see how much that we can do for others, constantly raising the stakes as we meet and relate. Pam was nodding, and so Dana continued. Brad also always talks about the passage because he talks about it as God's dream for our relationship, God's dream for our marriage. But he also says that it's one of those things that is destroyed by sin. Sin smashes all of the good things that God did for us, including how we live in relationships. That's what brings rise to divorce, our sinful humanity and the crazy decisions that we make. When Jesus talks about hardness of heart, he's talking about sin. Not just adultery or divorce, but sin. We all sin, but we also all want to act as if it's no big deal. Your husband went into marriage not really ready. It sounds like he didn't communicate too well, and then he got jealous. Now, maybe he was worried about you and what you might be doing, but it seems to me that he was more worried about how having a wife seemed to cramp his style. He found an excuse and got rid of you. This is a whole lot of wrong. But he also got you stuck in the middle of all that wrong. You were married once, and now you're not. It may not have been a sin that you committed, but it was still sin, and now you're worried about sinning again if you remarry. Brad would say that that's exactly what you should do. We should all be concerned about our sinfulness, whether it's within our marriage or it's cheating on your taxes. Now, Brad doesn't want people to be paralyzed in their personal lives. Or worse yet, he doesn't want people to decide to live in sin if they're just sinners anyway. Jesus doesn't want us thinking that there are no consequences for the things that we do. Gus may have married for all the wrong reasons, but you married him for better or worse, and so you made a mistake as well. I'm not trying to make you feel worse. It's just that there's truth there. Now, Brad would say that what we really need to do is to remember who's talking in that gospel story. It's Jesus, the one person who was willing to love each of us enough to die for us, saving us from that sinfulness. We should always be willing to repent and admit our sinfulness, always willing to fall on Jesus' mercy, crying out for forgiveness. It's not about arrogantly saying, I didn't do it. It happened to me. And then blissfully running off to do whatever we want to do. It's about humbly going before Christ, asking for forgiveness, and then remembering the poor decision and trying not to make that same mistake. It's funny you should say that, Pam Blush. I kind of did make the same mistake. After Gus divorced me, I went back to school, and this time it stuck. I started working at the hospital, and I met a guy. He seemed nice. He wasn't rugged like Gus, but he was still handsome. I was leery, but he swept me off my feet, and we moved in together after just a few months. It didn't take long for me to see that this was second verse, same as the first. And I was the one who left this time. I was so appalled to see that I had fallen for the same thing all over again. This is why this gospel reading shook me up so much. It sounds to me, though, that you're saying that what this is about is asking Jesus for forgiveness and walking into new relationships honestly, talking about past failures when it's appropriate. Dana was the one nodding her head this time. Yes. It's not about glancing over the adultery that Jesus talks about, but allowing Jesus to forgive you and then trying every day to live to the standard of God's dream, caring for each other as if we really are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We're all sinners. And God doesn't differentiate between sins or even between sinners. Being angry with someone or calling them names can be just as bad as murder. To think that you can be divorced and not sin, that's the problem that Jesus is even addressing in that gospel story. The Pharisees want to try to do just that, to try to live your life sharing God's love in relationships with other people. That's what Jesus is calling each of us to do. They finished their meal, sharing with each other. And as the waiter took their dishes away, Pam said, "Thank you so much, Dana. I know that I put you on the spot, but thank you. It would have been hard for me to ask Pastor Brad those same questions. I like him, but I really kind of needed to talk to another woman about this first." Dana said, "You are very welcome. Thank you for dinner. Do you have room for dessert? Because they make a great tiramisu." So they ordered dessert and talked for quite a while afterwards. We were created, you and me, to be in relationships. And God has set forth an amazing dream where we show God how much we love God by loving and caring for each other. Whether you have never been married before or you have been married now for decades, we are called to strive for relationships that nurture us and each other, to help us to thrive, relationships that bring joy to all who are involved. Unfortunately, sin arrives and destroys that dream and destroys many relationships. We try. We care for family and for pets. Sometimes we even care for coworkers and spouses. We do try. What happens, though? What happens when we throw others away as if they were so many paper cups? Jesus wants us to look at how we live together. Jesus wants us to confront our own sinfulness, confessing and living repentant lives so that we can make God's dream a reality. Jesus bends down to bless and to hug little children at the end of our gospel reading, showing us how we are to care for each other. Jesus bends down and touches our lives when we come to this table. It's not about being number one. It's not about power and authority. It's not about who's got any of those kinds of things. For us as followers of Christ, life is all about who cares for each other. Life is all about being a blessing for another. Life is really all about hugs, lots and lots of hugs. It's about being there for each other. It's about not taking each other for granted. It's about listening to each other, and it's about being supportive for each other. As God's children, we have been created in God's image. That is, we have been created to be in relationships. May we find inspiration for our relationships by God, who is relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we might truly live lives of love and service. Amen.